Israel, Am Imcha Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your heart, Israel, Am Imcha Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Call to the Torah, was written by Irv Tunick and is presented in observance of the 70th anniversary of the New York Board of Rabbis.
And Mrs. Rudolph Lee Lightman request the honor of your presence at the bar mitzvah of their son, Richard Keith, on Saturday morning, the 19th of November, at 11:30, Northwest Hebrew Congregation, Detroit, Michigan. Dinner at 6 o'clock, the Mayfair Room, 13305 Dexter at Waverly Avenue. RSVP.
The spiritual leader of Adash Shalom, Northwest Hebrew Congregation of Detroit, Michigan, is Rabbi Jacob E. Siegel. But this story, which is a true story in every detail, could be about a rabbi and his charge in Portland, in Duluth, in Savannah, or in New York.
I remember I was late returning to my office. This was in March of 1949. And when I came in, my secretary told me that a Mrs. Lightman was waiting to see me, waiting in my office. I went in, made my apologies for being delayed.
That's quite all right, Rabbi. I should have called for an appointment anyway.
No, not at all.
But the letter just came in the mail this morning. The letter from Richard, my son.
The phone rang then. I remember it was a call from Reverend Robert Spurt, the pastor of the Mayflower Congregational Church, our good neighbor of Curtis Street. As I spoke with him, I watched Mrs. Lightman. She was nervous, terribly nervous. She had a letter in her hand, and she kept turning it, twisting it. Once she opened it and read it as she must have read it a dozen times before. I'm sorry, Mrs. Lightman. Please don't put through any calls for the next few minutes. Now, how can I help you, Mrs. Lightman?
It's a letter from Richard. Will you read it, Rabbi?
Well, of course. The letter was typed, very crudely typed. Letters and words X'd out, or one letter typed on top of another. This is what it said. Dear Mom and Dad, I think you will be glad to know that I walked from the door of my room down to the end of the gym for the first time today. Will you send me a box of candy? Tell Bruce to write me often. What does he think of the chances of the Tigers this year? I think if Trucks and Neuhauser can win 20 games each, we have a good chance for the pennant. Mom, on November 16th, I will be 13. Every Jewish boy of 13 is born bar mitzvah, and I am no different. Enclosed is a list of 85 people to invite. Invite more if you want to. Lots of love. Rich.
You don't know my son, Rabbi.
Or does he attend our religious school?
No. I'm afraid none of us have been very active in the congregation. We just haven't been active. Richard is at the Walton Matheny School at Far Hills, New Jersey. He has cerebral palsy.
Oh, I see.
He's a wonderfully brave child.
Yes, that comes out in his letter.
But he never said anything about this before.
About what, Mrs. Lightman?
About mitzvah. He's planning on it.
Well, why not?
Well, Richard's handicap has affected his speech very seriously, Rabbi. And, well, he can't be understood very easily.
Oh, yes, I know.
He couldn't. He just couldn't get up before the congregation and go through the ceremony, the prayers, the reading from the Bible. He couldn't do it.
Well, actually, you know, Mrs. Lightman, what is required for bar mitzvah is for the child to say two Hebrew benedictions when he's called to the Torah, and then to recite the special portion of the Haftorah, that is, the portion of the prophets assigned for the day. But in this case, it would not be inappropriate if Richard were only to recite the benedictions. They're rather short. Do you think he could manage that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Or is there anyone at the school who could work with him?
Well, there's Goodwin Katzen, a therapist at the school. He's always been very interested in Richard. He'd help if he could.
Well, look, why don't we do this? I'll send Mr. Katzen a transliteration of the two prayers. During the next few months, he can teach them to Richard. I'm sure the boy will be able to manage.
Perhaps, but...
And Mrs. Lightman, what else is troubling you?
I'm afraid.
For Richard?
No. No, not for Richard. Richard is brave and good and so very, very sensible. He is a child, but he can teach adults a lesson in self-discipline and courage. No, I'm not thinking of him, Rabbi, because he is strong. I am thinking of my family and friends. We are the weak ones. We are the ones who will have to sit out there and watch him. It can't be done.
No, I think it can be done, Mrs. Lightman, and I think it must be done. This is Richard's first opportunity to prove to himself that he can participate in a normal activity of life.
Yes, I know that.
Mrs. Lightman, it's not necessary for Richard to compete with anyone. We can even arrange a special service for him in the Beth HaMidrash, in the chapel. You can invite as many people as you like. And I'm sure that all of them will understand and be proud of Richard.
You think this is the right thing to do, Rabbi?
I think it is the only thing to do.
All right. I'll write to Richard. I'll tell him everything has been arranged.
After Mrs. Lightman had left, I sat down and wrote a note to Richard. Dear Richard, I've just had a very nice talk with your mother concerning your coming bar mitzvah celebration. I'm very happy to tell you that all arrangements are being made for your bar mitzvah ceremony to be held on Saturday morning, November 19th. I'm enclosing a copy in English lettering of the two Hebrew blessings that every Jewish boy recites on the day of his bar mitzvah. I know that with the assistance of your good friend and teacher, Mr. Goodwin Katzen, you will be able to learn these blessings in plenty of time. Please drop me a line when you have the chance. With best regards, sincerely yours. Then, I wrote a second letter. This one to Mr. Goodwin Katzen, Walter Matheny School, Far Hills, New Jersey. When I got the letter, I showed it to Walt Matheny.
Well, what do you think, Goody? Can Richard make it?
It's going to be a rough job.
You'll work with him, huh?
Of course.
The big thing will be to get him to relax as he delivers the lines.
Relax? I remember my own bar mitzvah. All those people looking up at me, my parents, the family, friends. I sat in a big chair next to the rabbi. My 2 feet hung down like lead weights. I was petrified. I thought I'd never get through it.
Well, the only way Richard can get through is if he is completely relaxed. Any tension at all will affect his speech. But the important factor is his own desire to do this thing. He's got to do it. We've got to help him do it. I'm not exaggerating, Goody. The boy's whole future may rest in his ability to say these few words, to stand up before all those people and speak. Remember, this is what he wants.
Richard came home from school in the middle of July. We could see, we could sense that he was terribly anxious to make his bar mitzvah a real success. He had studied hard, very hard. And one day we asked the rabbi to come to the house, meet Richard, and see what progress he was making.
I remember that day very well. When I came in, Richard was up in his room listening to the broadcast of a baseball game.
He's very eager to see you, Rabbi.
I'm anxious to meet him. How's he doing?
I'm afraid not too well.
Oh.
My husband and I listened to him last night. We wanted so much to know that he'd be all right. Not perfect, of course, but at least understandable.
He didn't do so well?
No.
Well, we still have a few months before the bar mitzvah. Mrs. Lightman, I'm sure that in time he'll improve. Can I see him now?
Yes, he's waiting for you.
Well, look, you're busy here. I'll go up and introduce myself. As if we need introduction. We've had so many letters between us that by now we're old friends.
About an hour later, the rabbi came down again. I saw from his face that he was deeply concerned.
Yes, I was deeply concerned. I had sat with Richard, listened to him as he tried to recite the benedictions. Oh, how the boy wanted to say those few little words, how he worked over the phrasing, poured his heart into those words.
What do you think, Rabbi?
Well, he knows the words, of course, Mrs. Lightman. He's trying so hard to say them right.
Will he be able to do it?
I don't know.
Rabbi, we have all the invitations ready, addressed and stamped, but we haven't mailed them. Should we?
You must.
But why must we? Rabbi, how do we know that something like this, if he fails, won't ruin whatever chance he has to overcome his handicap as he grows older? Rabbi, the shock of failure to a sensitive child like Richard would be overwhelming.
But he must have this chance. To take it away from him now, with his heart set on it, would be a much greater defeat.
I'll mail the invitations.
As Richard's father, I had been pleased with his decision. A decision he made alone to be bar mitzvah, not to deprive himself of assuming the responsibilities of his faith. I knew that it involved a trial. Yet strangely, in the beginning, I never quite realized who was on trial. It wasn't until after the invitations were mailed out that I discovered that it wasn't Richard who was being tested, but all the rest of us, his parents, his family, his friends.
When the invitation came to us in the mail, we couldn't believe that Richard's parents seriously intended to have the ceremony. Rudolph Lightman is my brother, so I felt I had a right to go to Rudy, find out what was in back of this seemingly wild idea.
It's Richard's idea, Lou.
But you've agreed to it.
Yes.
I don't think you should go through with it, Rudy.
It's the boy's wish. How can I say no?
Richard is intelligent enough to understand the situation. You could have talked to him, explained how impossible it all is.
What should I have said to him? Should I have said, Richard, you're incapable of doing this thing? Could you have done that, Lou?
Well, no, I wouldn't have said that.
What would you have said?
I'd have told him that, well, that there was nothing to be gained. That he was only letting himself in for a great deal of unnecessary unhappiness. I would have told him that his friends, his relatives, all those who love him dearly, have no wish to see him upset and trying to do more than he can do.
Honestly, could you have done that?
No, I couldn't.
And I couldn't. You know, Lou, I've suddenly come to realize something. We're not being honest.
Why not?
We're trying to believe that it's Richard we're afraid of, but we're the ones who are afraid. That's what my wife and I and the rabbi have understood from the very beginning. It's not a question as to whether Richard can get up before all his guests and talk. The big question, the real question, is whether we are strong enough to sit and watch him do it. Even if Richard fails, his faith has been proved. This is really our trial.
It always hurts to see someone you love struggling.
That's right. But more important than our pain is his faith. His faith in himself.
You send invitations to all the family?
Everyone.
The California bunch?
Yes.
I'll put in a call to them tonight. I'll tell them they must all try to come.
Thank you. Do that for Richard.
In September, when Richard got back to school, we kept plodding along at the benedictions. Mr. Matheny took a great interest in our work, but I'm afraid my reports to him were anything but optimistic.
Goodwin Katzen came into my office one day. It must have been the middle of October.
He'll never make it, Walt. Just no use.
Does he want to give up?
Richard? He doesn't know what giving up means.
Then suppose we follow his lead.
But there's no sign of improvement. His speech pattern is still very bad. Actually, he seems to be sliding back a bit.
Yes, it's the pension.
I wish I was sure this is the right thing to do for the boy.
It's what he wants to do. So it must be right.
¶¶
husband brought Richard back to Detroit on the 10th of November.
We flew in from New York, the two of us, my boy and myself. I tried to talk to him of everything but the coming bar mitzvah. But I could see in his eyes that nothing else was important. I had to describe all the details, who was coming to the ceremony, who couldn't come, what the dinner menu consisted of, the seating arrangements, everything. That night, after Richard and our other two youngsters were asleep, my wife and I sat up very late. We talked.
Rudy?
Hmm?
What are we going to give Richard for his bar mitzvah? What?
I think I've hit on something he's going to like very much.
What's that?
A project.
A project?
Yes. Start a cerebral palsy clinic here in Detroit. I've spoken to some other parents. They're all interested. It's going to take money, of course, so in Richard's name, I'm sending in a check to start the ball rolling.
The day of Richard's bar mitzvah came. The guests began to gather early. Mrs. Lightman was greeting people at the door.
They had come from all over, California, Virginia, from all of the many places families managed to disperse to. As they came in, they looked at me, and I looked back.
When the service was about to begin, I sat down next to Mrs. Lightman. Bruce, age 9, sat by my side. Cynthia, age 6, sat next to her mother. Richard was seated near the altar.
Richard was a beautiful baby. Now he's a handsome boy. He's blonde and fair, with wide blue eyes. He sat so quietly, so calmly, that for a moment we all seemed to forget.
Richard was called up to the Torah by the cantor in the regular festive manner. As the cantor sang, I stood at the pulpit, the scroll of law before me, and I wondered what I would say when it came time to speak my little piece to Richard. What could I say? I turned and motioned to Richard. His two hands grasped the arms of his chair, and he lifted himself up. He faced toward the congregation, and he seemed to smile, and then looked toward me. Then he walked to the altar.
I'd never seen him walk so straight before, so well.
When he reached the altar, he took hold of his talis, touched the Torah, and kissed it.
And then he said the benedictions.
Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher dasan lanu toras.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast given us the law of truth and hast planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who givest the law. And now I turned to Richard, and I spoke to him, and I had no trouble finding the words.
I must confess, Richard, that until you recited your Torah benedictions a moment ago, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to say to you. But you've made it quite easy for me. You have given me the sermon and the message intact. This is your bar mitzvah in more ways than one. You planned it when no one else would have thought it possible. And by the power of your heart and will, you achieved an unforgettable victory of the human spirit. Richard, you have reminded us that all of us, in one way or another, are handicapped. And you have demonstrated what a glory it is to accept a handicap with dignity. Your coming to the Torah this morning was the grandest aliyah, the grandest ascent imaginable. As a Jew and as a human being, you lifted yourself up to your highest capacity, and you made us forget about your handicap. You gave each of us an aliyah, too. For you have raised our hearts and lifted our faith in God and in the spirit of men. You have enabled me now to ask you and your parents to rise and repeat with me, not in pity or in sadness, but in grateful joy, the traditional Shehecheyanu, thanksgiving prayer. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam
Olam
Shehecheyanu
Yanu
V'kimanu V'higiyanu Lazman Hazeh. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life and has preserved us and enabled us to reach this time.
That evening at 6 o'clock, all of our guests gathered at the Mayfair Room, and you could feel the change. Suddenly, somehow, the tension was gone, the anxieties, the fears. They were all gone. Everyone was having a grand time.
You were right, Rudy. You were absolutely right. It was the greatest thing to do.
What do I remember best of the evening? Oh, so many things. The whole day had been like a dream. I never believed I would see Richard walk so well, talk so well. Out of this day came hope for me. I was so grateful to everyone, especially to the rabbi.
That night, I couldn't take my eyes off Richard. I saw him get up and slowly make his way from table to table, thanking everyone for coming to his bar mitzvah. And the people made little jokes with him as he went along, slowly from table to table.
It was a waltz, and Richard and his mother, alone on the floor, danced together. The two together, they danced the waltz.
The story of Richard Lightman and his bar mitzvah is no miracle story, of course. What he did, the new power that he found, has a reasonable explanation. Richard had found the greatest medicine of all, faith. Self-assurance and self-respect. Through his bar mitzvah, he had achieved an aliyah, a sense of equality with other boys, a sense of status with the entire world. He is still handicapped, but he is reclaimed, and he has reclaimed us.
Not too long ago, we received a letter from Mr. Walter Messini. He told us of Richard's great improvement in his speech, his walk, his spirit. He said, in closing, and these are his exact words, he said, "I wish every one of the boys at my school could go through Richard's experience of becoming bar mitzvah."
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Morris M. Goldberg of Congregation Shari Tzedek and President of the New York Board of Rabbis, Rabbi Goldberg.
We have all been stirred by the true story of a 13-year-old boy whose faith and determination helped him to overcome a severe physical handicap. We cannot overlook the fact, however, that this great triumph could not have occurred without the insight, encouragement, and unique understanding of the rabbi working in cooperation with the medical men. one of the major functions of all rabbis, which is not too often understood, is that of counseling, of advising, of encouraging, and above all, of understanding. We rabbis firmly believe that there are no known limits to what dynamic persons can do through faith and hope, expectation and heroic adventure. We feel, therefore, that it is of more than local significance that this year the New York Board of Rabbis, the oldest rabbinical organization in the United States, marks its 70th anniversary of service. We of the board number more than 500 members of the Reform, Orthodox, and Conservative rabbis of Greater New York, who see our community responsibility as the widening of our function even beyond the pulpit. It is for that reason that the New York Board Chaplaincy Service makes available 65 rabbis to minister as chaplains to 110 city, county, and state institutions. We are particularly proud of the significant strides we have made in utilizing the latest findings in the psychological sciences for religious ministration. Through our Institute in Pastoral Psychiatry, the rabbis are reviving a function of religion which speaks of God as the one who healeth the broken heart. Who of us is not aware that this is a period of mental depression? Like Richard's friends, there are many who are resigned to a state of hopelessness. But like Richard's rabbi, there are ministers everywhere who believe that those who are without hope are half defeated. To restore confidence in a better future and to impart hope to people for the triumph of good over evil remains the sacred duty of the New York Board of Rabbis.
Thank you, Rabbi Goldberg. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Call to the Torah, was written by Irv Tunick and was based upon the personal files of Rabbi Jacob E. Siegel. Featured in the cast were Charlotte Holland as Mrs. Lightman and Norman Rose as Rabbi Siegel. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.